Cinnabuds receives support from Associated Bank.
Cinnabuds, Cinnabuds, two buddies talking about cinema.
From Milwaukee Film, I'm Christopher Pollard.
From Radio Milwaukee, I'm Dory Zori.
And this is Cinnabuds.
This week on Cinnabuds, we watched All of Us Strangers.
Hello.
Hi.
Saw you looking at me from the street. I'm assuming you're not with anyone. Never see you with anyone. That's your mom and dad?
Yeah.
They died just before I was 12. I'm trying to write about them at the moment. How's it going?
Strangely.
Yeah, All of Us Strangers is the film we're going to talk about by director Andrew Hay. And it was all over the award season, except very, very pointedly not at the Oscars. It was in everything else, but not the Oscars, which was interesting.
That's kind of wild. I've stopped trying to guess why films are or aren't nominated for things. But personally, I thought this was a really wonderful film. And the whole time, it's just a story about a gentleman who lives in what seems like almost an abandoned, like...
Yeah, huge apartment complex.
Building.
Very few people living in there.
Outside of London.
Yeah.
He's kind of trying to... He has a kind of a mysterious encounter with one of the people that live there. Maybe the only person that seems to live there besides him. And then kind of what happens with him and this new relationship as he's trying to explore some issues that he's had with his parents that have passed away 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's about loss, it's about loneliness, and there's some acting going on in this movie.
There is some wonderful acting, and the coolest thing about this movie to me, Christopher, is, you know, there's a lot of LGBTQ plus films, and a lot of them are about, you know, the nightlife or social justice issues, and this was just a film about humans that just so happened to be focused on two queer characters.
Yeah.
And I love that I was expecting something different to happen because I think I'm so programmed.
Yeah.
When you have two characters, like, that something wild is going to go on or something bigger than just interpersonal relationships. And I was so pleasantly surprised that this film just was about relationships.
Yeah, it's great when you have, like, you need those movies about social justice and about just, you know, social life. You need all of it. It needs to be all of it. But you also need just people being people. And you still have some of the challenges that he experienced with his family in it, relating to his sexuality. But it's done in a way that is, it just feels very different. It's nice.
I think a lot of people have been talking about this too because it stars some of the best actors out there. Andrew Scott,
who unbelievable.
Always be Moriarty from Sherlock to me and the hot priest from Fleabag.
That's right.
But now, like, this movie might have eclipsed both of those roles for me.
I know. And you've got Paul Mescal, who's also just immediately out of the gate was getting nominations for things. You got Jamie Bell, who I haven't seen in a while, who was phenomenal. And then Claire Foy. I mean, there's a really great group here doing some of the best acting they've ever done.
I can't wait to talk more about this in the podcast.
Absolutely. So stick around. We'll be right back. Hey, Wisconsin foodies. This is Tariq Moody of Radio Milwaukee. Join Milwaukee Magazine's food writer Ann Christensen and myself every Friday morning at 8 a.m. for This Bites, Milwaukee's longest-running culinary podcast. We talk about everything from new restaurants, pop-ups, cookbooks, events, and even an occasional interview with the local chef. Head over to radiomilwaukee.org/thisbites or listen anywhere you get your podcasts.
All of Us Strangers.
Yeah.
I think I learned more about this, like, I... social media everywhere that Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal have been, people have just been like snapping photos and interviewing and sharing that online. And I don't know if it's like the marketing company and production company and distribution company behind this film, or just it's such a great film.
Yeah.
These actors clearly have some chemistry on and off stage. And it's been really neat. I don't know. Have you seen them pop
yeah.
up at all?
Oh,
do you
yeah.
know what I'm
talking
about?
There's tons of videos. I scoured YouTube for, and it's like, Paul and Andrew, how well do you know each other? Like, they have little games, and they have these all these different little videos of them, like, trying snacks together, and which are the best snacks?
I love it so much.
Yeah, they're like my favorite new duo. And when you do start to get nominated for different awards, some of the more prestigious ones, then you're just going to end up showing up a lot more. You're doing a lot more press. That's mm-hmm. that's the one good thing that these award shows do for smaller films, is you're just going to get out there more.
Did you enjoy this film?
I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed it. And I first want to tell you, you know that feeling, you know when you go to a movie, you drink a lot of soda and you have to go to the bathroom in the middle and you don't want to go because you don't want to miss anything, but you're also constantly aware that you have to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how I felt about this movie, except instead of going to the bathroom, it is bawling my eyes out.
I cried.
So,
oh my gosh.
My wife was sitting there, but she was working, so she wasn't like really paying attention. And for some reason, I could not let myself just let it go. But the entire time, I'm like pressing the tongue to the roof of my mouth, just trying to suppress full out bawling. Now, what I didn't suppress is just tears coming down my eyes. So that got out. But the hiccuping sobs that would have accompanied them.
Right.
I mean, this is one of the most emotional movies I've seen in a long time.
The writing and acting is so wonderful in this film. I think that the story about wanting to see and talk to people in your life that aren't there anymore, I think we can all connect with that.
Yeah.
And the way they were able to show how the character of Adam, Andrew Scott's character, was able to do this, I thought was really, really beautiful. At first, I couldn't tell, like, is this all a dream of his?
Right.
Does he have abilities to talk
right.
to people that are passed away? Or is it just some beautiful combo of something I haven't even thought of yet? But that wasn't even, like, too distracting. You're
yeah.
just into it.
That's the interesting thing about this plot. Is because, so the general idea is that he's a writer and he meets a man in his building. They start a relationship. But at the same time, this sort of magical thing happens where he sees his parents who died many, many years ago when he was 12. And he sees them at that same age right before they died. And he can visit them again and talk with them. And they learn what he's been doing over the last years. And they, so the thing about it is, in a typical movie, it would be like, oh, those are ghosts, or he can see, or he's having an episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been talked about. There's questions. But when I watch it, I'm like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, the tone of this movie doesn't really insist on you that you question why that's happening. It's just happening. And you just accept it, because the most important thing is the conversations they're having, the emotions they bring out, and then what's happening with his relationship in, you know, in his apartment.
I love
it's
it
really
so much.
Cool when a tone of a film can do that, and kind of like, oh, I can eradicate those questions because they're not necessary.
Yeah, that doesn't happen all that often.
Yeah.
So that's a magical thing about this film. I also read that the house that the character Adam found his parents in, his house from his youth, was actually the house that the director grew
yeah.
up in, which
yeah.
I thought was kind of cool.
That is great.
To be able to use your childhood home in your film.
It also makes me wonder how close this film is to him. I mean, you would imagine writing and directing a movie like this. It's close to you, but even having that just a few feet closer to you by putting in your actual childhood home.
Oh my gosh, talk about working some stuff out.
I know.
The music, I know, was a very personal connection to the filmmaker, too. He
yeah.
really, really loved Pet Shop Boys and Frankie Goes to Hollywood and a lot of music that when he was younger really couldn't be that out
right.
with his own life. And so when he made this film, I saw something where he was talking about being able to bring these songs that were so important to him when he was young
yeah.
into the film, not caring what anyone thought about it
yeah, yeah.
Because they were just so important to share, was kind of a cool connection
And the songs were used in the film in a clever way. They mm-hmm. referenced the lyrics in the dialogue even.
Yeah.
It's really impressive. Yeah, they have, there's an era. So the two people who are having the romance, which is Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott, it didn't occur to me that they were wildly different ages.
No.
At first, because they both kind of look like they could be in the same mm-hmm. age range. But I guess, I mean, I just looked up the actors' ages and... Andrew Scott's 20 years older than Paul Mescal.
Yeah, 20 years older?
20, yeah, he's 48.
Andrew Scott looks
amazing. He looks phenomenal. I can't believe he's 48. That genuinely, anytime I look up an actor, they're always like 10 years older than I expect them to be. But there's a bit of an age gap between them. So he grew up in certain music in a certain time. And he grew up during the AIDS epidemic mm-hmm. a little bit. And Paul Mescal's character after that, where it wasn't as issues. So you see some of that, those differences between them dealing with different things, when they just kind of discover themselves. And then there's a great scene when Andrew Scott's character is talking to his mother, and who, in a sense, hasn't seen him in 30 years. And he tells his mom that he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
And he never got to tell her that when she was alive. And she was from that very different era, as they say. And so she...
worried about his health.
She worried about his health. She says, aren't you... I heard that they're lonely. I heard that you're going to be lonely because of this. So she had very misguided theories about what that being gay means. And you could see the heartbreak mm-hmm. in his eyes. And this is what we were talking about earlier with, like... the acting in this film is next level. So much happens on these actors' faces,
mm-hmm.
like beyond the dialogue. And Andrew Scott in particular, he can do so much with just blinking his eyes or just he'll do a huge shift. You can see him like trying to keep it civil and then suddenly the emotion hits him. And it's not overdone. It's very subtle. It's so impressive.
It's such a gift, a movie like this with actors like this. So Jamie Bell, he played his dad. I did not recognize him from other films, but yet he had like a familiar face.
Oh, yeah. He was, what's the dancing movie? The Dancing Kid.
The Dancing Kid.
This is embarrassing. I can't remember.
Fantastic Four?
Billy Elliot.
Oh,
yeah.
Billy. You mean the movie that Tom, who future Spider-Man, was in?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He was Billy Elliot.
Yeah. He was in that. Wait, can we pause for a second? Because am I wrong?
No, he is in Billy Elliot.
He's in Billy Elliot.
Oh, okay. He is Billy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, okay. I thought, what movie was Tom, what's his name in from Spider-Man?
Tom Holland was he in like a Broadway version of
that? Oh,
it?
Yeah, probably.
That's possible. Okay.
Okay. You know what? You could, if you want to leave this in.
Yeah, I know. It's fine. This is how our brains work. Or don't. But yeah, he's been in a lot of indies. He's been in a lot of big budget films. But this is, I think, the best performance I've ever seen from him. Because he also had a very subtle but strong mm-hmm. emotional performance in it, too.
To be able to go back and talk to your parents who passed away 30 years ago, and now you were 12 when they passed away.
Yeah.
So he's 42. He is older now than his parents are when they passed away.
Right.
And so that dynamic was so interesting because they talked a lot about his youth, but but they're also noticing that he's a grown-up now, like making comments on how physically fit he is. And but that's got to be really, really trippy, too. I guess I just wanted, like, this movie to be set in some sort of reality where we all have that person in our life that passed away.
Yeah,
that would be so great to go back and talk to.
I know the sad thing that I'm... this is what I was worried about. We're both going to get emotional talking about this, because I was also going to say, like, my parents are getting up there
mm-hmm.
and they're definitely getting to an age. They're in their mid to late 80s now. And so this has been something that's been distracting me for the last like decade. I think about it too much. And they always say, don't mourn people before they're gone. And I get that, but it's very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But watching this movie was like I told you, I'm like, just push it down, Christopher, push it down. Because, it makes you think about that. They're not even gone, but thinking about like when they are gone mm-hmm. and this opportunity this imagination that you have, like, what if I make a film where I get to talk to my parents again?
Yeah.
It is exactly what you want from that scenario. You want to see, you want to see them, like, deal with, tell them stuff they didn't know, deal with stuff they didn't get to deal with, but also get their approval and have them say lovely things to you that they're proud of you. Like, you want all of these things. I mean, there are a lot of surprises in this as well. This isn't just pure, like, wish fulfillment kind of a film.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, they nailed it in mm-hmm. this movie for that kind of a thing. And then separately, you have this, and it's about his loneliness. And then you have this character, Paul Mescal, who's offering him a chance at connection, which it seems like through the conversation, you're like, he hasn't really had that much connection in his life.
Never had a real connection like this in his life. So to see their relationship grow and mature and not have anything super dramatic happen during most of the relationship was lovely. It was just human connection. And that also, like, gave me all the feels.
Oh, I know. Now, there's a lot of stuff that we're not going to talk about because there are some surprises in this movie. And they're impressive as hell.
Yes, they're really impressive.
But just know that it's a very complicated, it's in many ways a very simple film, but then there's some interesting complications in it and some really impressive writing and story crafting around it that afterwards made me think about it so much. I even did some looking online about particular scenes. More and more I'm shocked that this didn't, and I know I'm not shocked that this didn't get Oscar nominations because it's about money typically. So this small British film probably didn't have as much to push behind it. But you can see it reflected in a ton of other awards and achievements it's made that people really recognize as one of the best of last year.
Two enthusiastic thumbs up from me and Kay Polly. I wish we could talk about all the things, but I don't want to ruin any of the magic for anyone.
Yeah, it's an impressive film.
Oh, so good. And the music, obviously, on par, too.
Yeah. Also, last thing I want to say is visually such an impressive, the music, not just the songs, but there's just this tonal music they have throughout the whole thing, plus the photography and it's a very darkly lit movie.
Yeah.
Just added to it. It's very impressive.
I am going to watch this film over and over again in my life.
I am too. I wish I would have seen it in the cinema. I can only imagine how cool that would have been there. But
seeing it with a community of people alongside you. Love it.
Woo!
All right. We made it through. I just got a little teary-eyed.
What, you did? I'm shocked I did it.
Such a tough guy.
I push it down. I push it right down.
Push it. All right, so we'll get to the part now that we like to call... Oh, wait, the last thing I want to say about this film, it was loosely based on a book. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. I looked that up, and I immediately put it on my to-be-read list.
I think I liked this film so much, and I know it said loosely based on, but I liked it so much that I kind of want to read this book now. I think it's called Strangers.
Called Strangers, and I believe it's a Japanese author.
Tishi Yamada?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I put it on my list instantly. There's been a lot of movies we've watched this year that were based on books that I'm like American Fiction. We talked about the one.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I got a lot of reading to do.
Read more books.
Yeah.
What else have we been watching? I was just obsessed with this TV series from 2023. Two people let a road rage incident burrow into their minds and slowly consume their every thought and action.
Oh.
The show is called Beef, and it's a series on Netflix with Ali Wong and Steven, is it Yoon?
Yoon, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They both just won awards at the Independent Spirit Awards yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But they've won a ton of awards for this show. I have not. You know what? That's not true. I saw the first episode, and then I think we got rid of that platform or something.
Oh, it's on Netflix.
Oh, maybe not.
No.
Okay.
But maybe it's on something different now.
Yeah.
Definitely watch it. It starts out, the first half of it is definitely like a vibe, but then the second half of it turns into what almost could seem like a horror movie to me.
Oh, wow.
And then the final episode might be one of the most perfect final episodes of a series I've ever seen. I don't think that there's going to be a season two. There doesn't need to be a season two. I think it's just a TV miniseries.
Oh, okay.
But man, you got to love a final episode that really... doesn't leave you like feeling unfulfilled, especially when you enjoy something all the way up to it.
Yeah, and that's so rare, especially if you just have one season of something to be able to put a cap on it that works.
Yeah.
Oh, that's impressive. Yeah, I need to see that. I love both of those people. For me, we watched the original, the 1972 film called The Mechanic, starring Charles Bronson.
Oh, tough guy. So Charles Bronson.
An interesting, weird thing in my house is my wife has a really weird crush on Charles Bronson.
Really?
It's a crush slash fascination because he is a man who has the body of a 25-year-old gymnast and the face of a 60-year-old hard-living good old boy.
Well.
And I was like... I have questioned her a lot. I go, what is it just the fascination? You genuinely find him attractive? And then she keeps calling him a zaddy, which I'm not comfortable with.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think of him in, what is it, the Death Wish movies?
Death Wish, which we've also watched a couple of those.
Wow.
Which is, they're very intense movies. Yeah. Even for like the 70s, it's messed up what happens, but it's, it does appeal to my sense of revenge because I love a revenge movie, and that's one of the better ones. I mean, that's horrible things happen, and then he moves on to revenge everybody. So, but The Mechanic is about an assassin, and they did a remake of it with, oh, what's the British guy who shaves his head, and he, Transporter, why am I blanking on his name? Jason Statham. Jason Statham did an updated version of it, which... isn't as good, obviously, but I did enjoy it. It's the original Mechanic is pretty good.
From the early 70s.
Yeah, because it's a little weird. Like, it's, I sometimes want to chalk it up to like, oh, they spoke different. I'm like, no, it's the 70s. It's not that far away. It's a little strange, the dialogue and the relationship between him and like a protege. But it adds to it for some reason because it just feels very otherworldly almost. But it's a pretty straightforward
assassin movie,
and you get backstabbed and all that kind of
stuff. Is Charles Bronson the assassin?
He is the like one of your better assassins.
Okay.
And he takes on a protege.
Okay.
And then things go from there. You see the training sequences.
Is there a musical montage training sequence?
I don't think, no. I think this is the 70s.
It's two series.
The 70s is less about that, I feel like. That was more the 80s that's really kicked in those montages, which... Listen, I love a montage.
Mm-hmm.
One day we should do an episode all about 80s martial arts music montages.
Oh,
it's real specific.
My gosh.
But there's a ton of content to be had.
Absolutely.
That's like my, I want to make a Spotify playlist of just the songs from those.
Well, that will be a future episode, but what I would like to ask our Instagram followers is, what is your favorite training montage from a movie?
Yes.
Do you have one that instantly stands out to you?
Yeah. Oh, that would be perfect. And I will put that as ASAP.
How do they find us on the old Instagram?
Oh, they simply search at Cinebuds Podcast.
Well, I guess that's it for us today.
Yeah, that's right. We have some crying to do on our own.
I might go home and watch that movie again today.
Yeah. It's going to come up sometime. I keep pushing it down, but it's got to come up sometime.
All of Us Strangers. Check it out.
Yeah,
now.
Absolutely. We want to thank a few people.
Kim Shine, our wonderful producer.
Heck yeah. And Newski, who does our wonderful theme song every week.
We couldn't do things like this without sponsorship and financial support. And thank you to Associated Bank for always being there for us here at Cinebuds.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And we love our members, both from Milwaukee Film and from Radio Milwaukee. Thank you so much for your support.
Until next time, take a box of tissues to the movies if you see All of Us Strangers.
You're gonna need it.
Bye.